Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Beis. We're learning tonight Perek Tesvav, back to Avshalom's rebellion. So last week we learned about Yoav's plan to bring Avshalom back after Avshalom went into Golus, went into exile. And Yoav had this whole plan to get him back, and it worked. David brought him back. But David, we learned last week, didn't want him anywhere nearby, and he sent him off. And finally, Avshalom at the end concocted this plan. He set Yoav's field on fire, and he ended up getting Yoav's attention and got David to welcome him back to Yerushalayim. And the very last pasuk of Perek Yud-Dalet basically said that that David and Avshalom embraced, he gave him a kiss, and that was the end of the Perek. So the Mitzudas David says at the beginning of this Perek that this took place right after that episode, and after David forgave him for what he did. And so now that's not clear in the last pasuk of Perek Yud-Dalet, but the Mitzudas David understands that way, that David forgave him. He was Malchel, and he forgave him for what happened, and he was ready to move on. So let's see pasuk Aleph, Perek Tesvav, pasuk Aleph. Vayime acharei chayim, it was after this episode happened. Vayaslo Avshalom merkava v'susim achamishim ish rotzim lefanav. Avshalom starts getting things together. He has a chariot. He's got some horses. He has 50 men. He's starting to get some things together. Now, says the Malbim, this is not just the innocent getting things together. Avshalom's wheels are turning. Avshalom's wheels are turning. Right? Well, what's Avshalom thinking? So we'll see in a little bit. We'll see a little bit more in terms of the Malbim paints the picture. But basically, he sees, David's been king for a long time now. David's been king for about, we'll see the Cheshbon exactly, but about 37 years at this point, 37, 38 years that David's been the king. He's not a young man anymore, David. And, we're getting close to the time when David's going to give over the reins to the next king. The next king we know is supposed to be Shlomo. Well, Avshalom doesn't want that to happen. So Avshalom is starting to put the pieces into place so that he should become the next king and not his brother Shlomo. Step one, he's got to build himself up a little bit. He's got a chariot. He's got some horses. He's got some men. This is the beginning of the process to build himself up, to prepare himself for Gedula, for greatness, for the Malchus. Pasuk Beis. Yeah. So this is what we said last week, that there was a Nevuah that Shlomo was going to be the next king, because the Nevuah basically said that his son was the next king. So there was that Nevuah. It's not clear who knew about the Nevuah, who didn't. David certainly knew about it. It's not clear who else knew about it. But it seems clear Avshalom kind of assumed that it wasn't going to be him.
So there's no king now?
I'm sorry?
What happened to Nassim? Nassim knows.
Yeah.
I thought you meant that nobody knows that
Nassim. No, I'm not saying nobody knows. I'm just saying I don't know how many people knew. Right? It wasn't common knowledge, right? It wasn't like a given.
But
Yeah. Right. Correct. Right. Yeah. Okay. So, but not only does he have to build himself up, he also has to gain a following. So how do you gain a following? B'hishkim Avshalom. Al yad derech hashar. So Avshalom started getting up early and standing by the gate, presumably of the palace. V'hi kol ha'ish asher yihi elo riv, lavo el ha'melech la'mishpat. One of the roles of the king was to judge cases. People had disputes, to judge cases. So as people would come in to the court, to the king's court, to have David judge their cases. Vayikra Avshalom Eilov. So Avshalom used to come to the people and call out to them to say, "Hello, Shalom Aleichem, good morning, how are you?" Vayomer Emi Ze'ir Ata. What city are you from? What's your name? Introduce himself. Vayomer Me'achad Shivtei Yisrael Avdechem. People would respond them from a certain. And that was their conversation. And the Mefarshim say, Rashi says he did this every morning. Every single morning he would get up early and greet people and say Shalom Aleichem and say good morning, very friendly, asking them about themselves. It's interesting because he asks, and the Mefarshim pick up on this, Vayomer Emi Ze'ir Ata. He asks, what city are you from? Vayomer, and the responses are, Me'achad Shivtei Yisrael Avdecha, from one of the Shvatim. So the Mefarshim are bothered. Why the difference? Why is he asking about the city and the response is from the Shefet? So the Metzudas Dabba takes a very Pashat Pshat approach. And he says, you know, he would ask, what city are you from? And the people, you know, thought to themselves, oh, Avshalom knows every city in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't know every city. So I'll say, I'm from Shevet Binyamin. You know, the Shvatim, he knows. He doesn't know every single city, you know, in every single Nachla. So we'll tell him the Shvatim. The Malbim understands, though, there's something else here also. That he was, you know, he was slowly implanting in people's minds, you know, what city are you from? And then they would respond with the Shevet. He was slowly implanting in their minds that David, you know, David is really, he's really only focused on his own Shevet. That's what Avshalom was alluding to. So at the same time that he was being friendly, says the Malbim, he was also dropping little hints to impugn David, you know, to show that David was not such a great king. And we'll see more explicitly in a moment. But, you know, to say David, you know, David's older, we'll see David's a little, maybe he's a little bit lazy. And, you know, also he cares about his own Shevet a lot. You know, David was from Shevet Yehuda, of course, he cares about his own Shevet. You know, you're from a Shevet Asher, okay, but, you know, he may not care about you so much. Pasuk Gimel.
I'm getting the voice. Rabbi, I'm not getting your voice. I'm not getting sound.
Oh, hello, hello, hello?
Now it's good.
Okay.
Before it was.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Rabbi.
Okay, you got it. Okay. So if someone would come and they would bow down and they would get close to him, what would he do? He would pick them up. The sholach is yod of a hechziklo. He would pick him up. He would lift him up. Vinashaklo, he would kiss them, right? He would make them feel, "What? Don't bow down to me, please. No, you know, don't do that." Pasuk Vav. Vayas Avshalom kadavar hazeh lechol Yisrael asher yavo lamishpat el hamelech. Avshalom did this with everybody. This was a campaign. Now he was making himself a well-liked among people, very friendly, very friendly. And again, dropping all these hints, you know, this little knocks on David.
None of this got back to David?
It seems like, no. It's again, we don't know. We'll see. David finds out very late in the game that something's going on here.
So this would have to be the gates of the city.
Maybe you're right. Yeah, maybe you're right.
I hear you.
Maybe this was the gates of the city, and that's why David didn't realize by the time they got to the palace, you know, they had forgotten about it already.
They showed up different times.
Maybe they showed up and they, you know,
called each one.
Well, right, that's what it seems like. And he, you know, maybe one presented his case and then they would call the other one. You know how it works in Basin. You don't have two people coming to Basin at the same time. One person brings a claim to Basin, right? And then they have to summon the other person. It's the same thing with a court, right? You go, you know, a person wants in secular court, lahavdil, you want to sue someone. You don't both show up to court together. One guy, you know, makes a motion in court. You know, sues the other party, and then the court summons the other party to come and defend himself, right? Okay, now, fascinating. Pasuk says, "Vayiganev Avshalom eslev anshei Yisrael." Avshalom stole the hearts of the people. Stole the hearts of the people. So, by the way, that's an interesting aside. When I was preparing this, I thought to myself, you know, is this the earliest time that expression is used? Stole the hearts. Right? You steal someone's heart. It's like that. That's a well-used expression in America. It comes from right here. It comes from the Navi. Right? I don't know. I tried to do a little Google search to see if I could find, you know, where it came from, but no one mentioned this pasuk. By Vayiganev, I don't know. You have to find an earlier place than Tanakh. It seems like this is a source. He stole their hearts. Pasuk Zayin. Vayimi Kates Arboim Shana. That was at the end of 40 years. Now we'll talk about the 40 years in a minute. Vayomer Avshalom el HaMelech. And Avshalom turns to David. He comes to David one day and he says to him, Elchona v'ashalim es nidri asher nadarti l'Hashem b'chevro. He says, you know, I made a neder. I made a promise to Hashem that I would bring korbanos, I would do certain things. And Mepharshim explained that he made this promise when he was in Geshur. If you remember, when he was in exile in Geshur, he said, Hashem, if you help me out and you bring me back to Yerushalayim, I'll bring korbanos. I'll bring karbanos. So he says, I got to fulfill my pledge. Right? I made a neder. I'm going to bring karbanos. You know, would you mind if I went to Hebron and brought these karbanos? Now, a couple of interesting things here. Number one, the 40 years. Okay? So most of the Mepharshim understand I'll start like this. The Malbim quotes the Abar Benel that the 40 years are really the 40 years of David's reign. Okay, and we're not quite at the end of 40 yet. He says Miketz is like towards the end of 40. So he says it's about year 37, 38 of David's reign. So it's like towards the end of the 40 years of David's reign. That's how the Abba Benel understands it.
So you went back into Shaul's time.
No. Again, according to the Abba Benel, we're just talking about David's reign. David's been ruling about 37 years at this point. So Miketz Arba'im Shana means towards the end of the 40. So not quite at 40 yet. We're about 37. That's almost 40. Right? That's how the Bar Benel understands the 40 years here. Chazal understand, Rashi quotes this, and Radak also quotes it, that it's not 40 from the beginning of David's reign. It's 40 years from the day, or I don't know the day, or 40 years from the year at least, that Bnei Yisrael approached Shmuel to ask for a king. Okay, and because we know, remember that story way back when they approached Shmuel to ask for a king, that was something that was not a positive thing. It was not good. This is a punishment for that. 40 years later, there's going to be a punishment here because what's going to happen here is that people are going to lose their lives because of this rebellion between David, right? David, Shalom's rebellion, you know, against his father David. People are going to die. And this is a punishment in part. Because of that original request for a king that happened 40 years ago. Now he says, that's why the Pasuk says Arba'im Shana. Miketz Arba'im Shana. At the end of the 40 years after that request, right? And we know 40 years is like a complete cycle. You know, 40 years Leitzira Savlad, We know that a baby is at least the initial stage of creation is 40 days, and then after the 40 days, you know, that's when the vlad is a viable vlad, and then the vlad begins to develop, and the fetus begins to develop inside of the mother. So we know there's this idea of 40. Right? Moshe was on Har Sinai for 40 days. The Mabul was 40 days. There are a lot of 40s in Tanakh. Sorry? 40 years in the Midbar, correct. So 40 is considered like a complete cycle of something. And then you restart. So this is almost like the end of the cycle. The cycle began with Bnei Yisrael asking Shmuel for a king. And then that process began. Shaul, right? Shaul reigned 1 year with Shmuel, then 2 years after Shmuel, that's 3 years. And then David's 37, that's 40 years. That's how the Radaka understands it. And that's why this happened at this time. So he asks, I want to go fulfill my nether in Hebron. Now, what's going on in Hebron? Why is he going to Hebron? Right? First of all, no, Yerushalayim. Dove is in Yerushalayim, number one. Now, there's no Beis HaMikdash yet in Yerushalayim. There was a Mishkan. The Mishkan was in Givon at this time. That's where it was. It was in Givon. So why doesn't he say, let me go to Givon to bring Karbanos? That's a good question. Why does he have to ask permission? But I guess it's presumably this was something of like a big trip, I guess. For Avshalom to leave, he's going to leave with people. He's going to leave with an entourage. Dove is going to want to know where are you headed. Where are you going? Well, this is part of Avshalom, so we'll see that in a second. So, yeah. Yes, very good, very good. Good, so we're getting there. So first of all, the Radak points out here that this was the time of the Heter Bamos, when you were allowed to bring Karbanos, not only in the Mishkan, but also on a Bama, which is a private Mizbeach. So you could bring Karbanos in Hebron, even though the Mishkan was in Givon. No problem bringing Karbanos in Hebron. That's number one. And in terms of why Hebron, so there is an approach, Chazal say, that Hebron had very good sheep. There were excellent sheep in Hebron. So he was saying, I want to go to Hebron because they have good sheep there. They're going to be nice fat sheep. You know, it's going to be a nice Karban. That's one approach, why Hebron. However, the Malbim and the Radak also mentions what Marvin was thinking, that David began his Malucha in Hebron. If you remember, Shaul was in Yerushalayim, and David started off in Hebron. So that's what Avshalom is thinking. He says, I want to go to Hebron because that's where I want to start my Malucha. Right? Just like my father started his Malucha there, Hebron is a little bit of a royal city. Hebron also belonged to Shevet Yehuda, and he thought maybe I can get, even though Shevet Yehuda is the most loyal Shevet to David, because that's where David was from, but maybe if I go to Hebron, Shevet Yehuda, I start to make inroads in the Shevet. If I get Shevet Yehuda, that's gonna be the best. Then I'll be able to get everybody else to follow, in step after that. So according to many of the Mefarshim, and especially the Malbim, that was his intention. His intention was to go to Hebron to begin this rebellion, to begin the Malucha, his Malucha in Hebron.
Rabbi,
yes, yeah.
Question: Absalom, after Amnon dies, Absalom is the oldest son, is David's oldest son. So he should really be next in line in the kingship. But David promised Bathsheba's son would become King Solomon. So was that right? Was that proper?
Well, it was proper because there was also a prophecy. There was also a nevuah that Shlomo was going to be the king. So he did the right thing.
There is no order in the kingship? Like the oldest son becomes king automatically?
I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so. None.
But at this point, there was never verbalized
that Solomon passed. Correct, but he knew. He saw the writing on the wall, I think. You know, what that writing on the wall was, we discussed the last parak a little bit, but I think he saw the writing on the wall that he realized he wasn't going to be the king. He realized that Shlomo was going to be the king, and he needed to do whatever he needed to do to make sure that didn't happen. Okay, Pasuk Ches, he's explaining the neder. Ki neder nadar avdecha b'shivti v'gishor ba'aram lemor. He says, I took a neder when I was in Gishor, back in Aram. I took a neder saying, Im yashov yeshiveni Hashem Yerushalayim, if Hashem will return me, bring me back to Yerushalayim, yavarti es Hashem, I'm going to serve him, meaning I'm going to bring karbanos. Very interesting. If you have a text in front of you, so you'll see that we have the kri is yashov, the ksiv is yashiv. What's the difference? The Malbim, the Radak, I'm sorry, says the Ksiv of Yashiv implies tshuva, doing tshuva. So the Ksiv implies that in Yashiv, if I'll do tshuva, right? If I'll do tshuva. But the Pashup Shad is the Kri, which just means if Hashem will bring me back to, meaning physically return me to Yerushalayim, but not actually do tshuva. But there's a hint to Avshalom doing tshuva here, which he's not doing quite yet. Okay, pasuk test. Vayomer lo haMelech leich b'shalom. David says, sure, absolutely. Have another. You got to go to Chevron. No problem. Go. David, unsuspecting. Didn't suspect anything. Go on to Chevron. Vayakom vayelech Chevrona. And he gets up and he travels to Chevron. Now, this is so again, step one, he's the politician. He's being friendly with everyone, dropping little hints that David is not such a great king anymore, and making a lot of friends. Step two, he travels to Hebron. Now step three, he's got to get a following. Right? You can't be a king without a melech below him. He's got to have a follower. Plus a good. Now Yishlach Avshalom Miraglim, b'chol shivtei Yisrael. So Avshalom sends out Miraglim. Now normally Miraglim are spies, which are intended to, find out some information. What information does he want to find out? Lay more. Kishamachem es kol ha-shofar. It's actually not clear in the pasuk, but the Mitzvah Seven makes this clear. He says, go find out from people, talk to people, find out, would people be willing to support me? Do I have support among the Hamonam, among the people? Go find out. So he sent Miraglim all over Eretz Yisrael, to all the different Shvatim, to talk to people in the markets, in the shuls. Find out, Avshalom, yeah, he's a really good guy. Find out from people, would they be willing to support me? Would they back me? And if they will, if they'll be willing to support me, then tell them the following. Lay more. Mamish. Okay? Kishamachem es kol ha-shofar. We're going to keep this quiet, boys. Right? As Avshalom said to his men, find out people, find out who my supporters are. And when you find people that are supportive, tell them, okay, we're going to keep this quiet, right? It's going to be a big secret. We're going to keep this quiet until you hear a shofar. There's going to be a kol shofar. Na'amartem, and when that shofar sounds, Malach Avshalom b'chevron. When that shofar sounds, then everybody will proclaim that Avshalom is now the king in Chevron. Okay, but we're going to keep this quiet until then. That was this was the plan, says the Malbim. It was a big secret. Yeah.
I'm sorry, I missed 2 seconds above. I'm just trying to catch up.
Yeah.
This was after 40 years?
Yeah, 40 years of David's reign.
40 years of David's
reign. Yeah. So, well, it may not be 40. We discussed
that. How long was it after he brought Avshalom back? After he was with the woman?
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly how many years that was. I'm not sure.
It's not 40 years, right?
Not 40 years from then. No.
40 years
from then. 40 years from. Either 40 years from the time B'nai Yisrael asked for a king back in Shmuel's time, or 40 years from when David started. That's the question.
Now when he says, when you hear the shofar blowing,
yeah,
his men are good. He's telling to the
spies. He's telling the spies, this is what you should tell people when you find out that people are supportive of me.
When you hear the shofar blowing, then you know that he's the king.
Correct. And this is the message that you're telling people. We're going to do this quietly. It's going to be a big secret. And then when the shofar sounds, we're going to go public. That's going to be our coming out. We're going to go public when the shofar sounds. Pasuk Yud Aleph. V'es Avshalom holchu masayim ish miYerushalayim. Now Avshalom did not go alone. He took 200 men with him from Yerushalayim. Keruim v'holchim l'suma. They had no clue. These people did not understand what was going on. Right? The prince asks them to travel with him. These are David's men. Prince asks them to go with him. You go, right? Prince asks you go, of course. The lo yadu called David. They didn't understand what was going on here. They didn't realize. Okay, so again, Pashup Shat, he just enlisted these 200 people to come. These were David's men, David's servants, David's friends. And part of this, says the Malbim, was also to fool David, to think like, oh, all my men are there. They're loyal to me, right? We'll see. Not so simple. Now, Rashi, interestingly, quotes Chazal, who say that Avshalom did this in a very tricky way. How do you get 200 men, right? 200 men of David's men to come with him? It's a lot of people. What does he need so many people for to bring karbanos? So the Medrash that's quoted by the Mefarshim says that that he asked his father, "Listen, I need a couple people to help out. Can you write me a letter that two people should come help me? You know, I just need like two men to come assist me." So David said, "Sure." Writes him a letter, you know, two people. And he goes and he shows it to two people and they come. And then he goes and he shows it to two more people and they come. And he does this 100 times and he ends up with 200 people. Each one not knowing that, you know, the other two people are coming, the other, you know, 198 people are coming. And he ends up building up this following quietly, surreptitiously, 200 men who are coming to help him.
What about the first 50 men? Not included in this 200?
It sounds like, now, I don't know. Those first 50, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. That's, I don't know what step we're up to. Step three, step four. Another step in the process of the rebellion here. Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayishlach Avshalom es Achitofel Hagiloni. There was a fellow by the name of Achitofel. He was from this place, Gilon. Yoetz David. And he was one of David's trusted advisors. So he sends him, Me'iro mi Gilo. He's from Gilo, I'm sorry. He's from Gilo, right? Gilon is from Gilo. He sends him from Gilo, Bizovcho es Hazvachim, as he's bringing these karbanos, Vayhi akesher amitz, V'ha'am holeich varav es Avshalom. And now, all of a sudden, it's building. Now, what's this business with Achitofel? Says the Malbim, he told Achitofel, "Achitofel, I need you. I need you. But I need you to come to a different city." He took him out of Gilo, is where he lived, and he relocated him to a different city. Okay? And he says, "I need you to wait here. I'm going to need you in like a couple weeks, but just wait here in this city." Why did he do that? Because if David sees what's going on and David needs to get advice, he's going to look to Achitofel. Achitofel's not going to be there. So he's removing David's lifeline here. He's removing David's advisor, right? Relocating him. So David won't be able to find him. There was no phones, right? He would go to Gilo. If Gilo, he wasn't in Gilo, he wouldn't be able to find him. So again, because Avshalom is being very smart and conniving about this. Avshalom is the prince. And people want to help out the prince. You know, Avshalom seems like a nice guy. David and Avshalom just made up at the end of the last parak, right? He's the prince. He's asking for help. You're not going to say no. So Achitofel, yeah, sure, I'll help you out. Okay, I'll go there for a couple of weeks if you need me. No problem. Could be Yoav is too loyal, maybe. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Oh, and then at the end of Pasuk Yud Beis, you see the Pasuk says, "Vayhi akesher amitz." Right, the knot is strengthening. Right, the knot of this rebellion, this the core of the rebellion is getting stronger. V'ha'am holeich varav es Avshalom, and Avshalom is gaining more and more followers. And once he reaches this critical mass, then he's going to be ready. He's going to be ready to go. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayavo Hamagid el David lemor. And now all of a sudden, someone sees what's going on. He says, "We got to tell David what's going on." He doesn't realize what's going on here. And a magid person runs to David to tell him what's going on. Haya lev ish Yisrael acharei Avshalom. And they said, "David, you lost the people. The people are following Avshalom now. They're not following you anymore." So this was, it was like almost like it was too late. And the Malbim said they did such a good job, Avshalom, with this whole plot of keeping things a secret, keeping it quiet. He did such a good job that by the time David had found out, he says that shofar that we spoke about was already blown. They blew the shofar. People are already proclaiming, "Molach Avshalom v'Chevron." Avshalom is the king in Chevron. And now there's a real following. This is a rebellion. Now that they run to tell David, "Look, this is what just happened. It's too late."
The only thing that he said, "Avshalom is telling the people," is that, "I can judge you better if he's my judging."
I mean, that's how it starts, but, you know, that's how it starts.
Didn't they like David? They have any
qualms against David? Yeah, they like David. Well, you know, people are people. Somebody new comes along, you know. David's getting old. He's been a king for 37 years. Time for a new king, right? Pasuk Yudalid, Vayomer David lechol avodav asher yitov Yerushalayim. So David turns to his avodim that are left with him in Yerushalayim, and he says, "Guys, we got to get out of here. Kumu v'nivracha, get up, let's go. We're out. We're running. We're fleeing Yerushalayim. Why? Kilosi Yelanu Plata Mipnei Avshalom. Because we're not going to be able to escape Avshalom at this point. He hears that Avshalom has all these people and he realizes he's got an army. You know, if he comes to the city, we're going to lose. We're not going to win this. Maharu Laleches, quickly, let's get out of here. Penny Maher, Vihisganu, because maybe he's going to come quickly and catch us. Vihidiach Aleinu Es Hara'a, and bring the evil upon us. Vihika Ha'ir Lefi Charev. So the Mefarshim explained here that he's worried that if we stay in Yerushalayim, he's going to come, he's going to attack the city. He's going to attack the city. Let's get out of here, because if we're not in Yerushalayim, he won't attack the city. He was worried. David was worried about the people that live in Yerushalayim, the civilians, right? So he said, if we get out of Yerushalayim, Avshalom will not attack the city, because he wants us, not, he doesn't care about the city, he's not bothered by the civilians, he's bothered by us, so he's going to look for us. So if we're, the further away we are from the city, the less of a chance that there'll be an attack on the city and people will lose their lives.
What was David afraid of? He had the Arbiter with him. What could he have been afraid of?
He's still afraid. He's still afraid that they have Avshalom. He's got an army. He's got a following. People are saying he's the king now. He was nervous. He also is afraid that, you know, that he's worried. It's interesting. The Malbim says he's also worried about conspiracy theories. He's worried that if Avshalom attacks the city, keep in mind, which men are these that are attacking, that will be attacking the city of Yerushalayim? These were people that just recently were David's men. So all of a sudden, David's men are going to come into Yerushalayim and start attacking. What might Avshalom tell people? David's attacking you. So he's worried about that. So he says, but if we're not here, then they can't say that. If we run, they know it's not true. They know it's not true. Pasuk Tezvav, Vayomru Avdei HaMelech El HaMelech, whatever you choose, we're with you 100%. These are David's loyal men. Whatever you decide to do, you want to run, you want to flee, we're behind you 100%. Pasuk Tezayin, Vayetze HaMelech B'chol Beis over Raglav. So the king, first he leaves with his entire family. Beraglov, Mepharshim say, means with him. Interestingly, he leaves these 10 pilagshim at home to watch the house. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayetze HaMelech B'chol Ha'am B'Raglov. And now, first he leaves with his family, and now everybody else follows. Right? All the other people, all the other men, and his supporters follow. Vayamdu Beis HaMerchok. And they go far away. They go far away to a distant place outside of the city, and they set up camp. They don't want to be near the city because, again, they don't want Avshalom to attack the city, to blame it on them. Pasuk Yud Ches, V'chol Avodav Ovrim Al Yodo, all of his servants are passing by him, and the Malbim says, you know, he was a little nervous because now you have all these Avodim that left and defected and went to Avshalom. He's a little nervous about these people. So he's like, he's analyzing each one. You know, is this one really loyal? If they were all passing by him, he was looking, you know, he was analyzing each one. You know, this one is loyal, this one is loyal, you know, going by each one. The chola crazy, the chola placey. Crazy and placey is interesting. The Radak says pashup shot is that it refers to families that were well known in the Jewish people. These were like big families, the crazy and the placey, that were loyal to David. The medrash is that it refers to the Urim V'Tumim. That's the medrash. That the crazy in the place refers to the Urim V'Tumim. The Chol Agitim, Sheish Meos Ish, Ashebo Beraglo Migas. And there were these Gitim. Now, who are these Gitim? So, this is a machlokes. Some say, the Radak quotes all these opinions. He says, some say that this refers to non Jews. These were non Jews. Gas, if you remember, was a big Plishti city. So, some say he's referring to non Jews, but they were supportive of David. We're going to see in the next pasuk next week, we're going to talk about Itai Agiti, right? The Itai Agiti was not a Jewish person. So he says some people think that all these Gitim, 600 Gitim, they all came from Gas. They were supportive of David and they were going to help him out. They came to help him. The Radak thinks, no, he thinks they were Jewish. He thinks they were Jewish people, and Gas, although it was a big Plishti city, there were a lot of Jews that lived there also. And these were 600 Jews from Gas who came to help David. So that's a question. Were they Jewish? Were they not Jewish? But either way, 600 Gitim. And they came over to Malpnei HaMelech, and all these people came to support the king. We're going to stop here because now there's a conversation now between the king and Itai Agiti. But you see here that Avshalom put all the pieces into place slowly, carefully, and methodically to figure out how this rebellion is going to unfold. And Mirtz Hashem, next week we'll do the second half of the parak explaining exactly how the rebellion unfolds. Shkoyach, thank you for coming.
Rabbi, yeah. This week's deals with David and Goliath and David and Absalom.
Wow, look at that.
From this week. It discusses David, right. Everything that we studied and we're going to study.
Wow, it's in that Gemara.
It's unbelievable. This week's Gemara.
Wow, beautiful, beautiful. So all right.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Very. All right, be well, Aaron. Good night.
Good night.